In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We will speak about oneness in marriage. Oneness in marriage. If we read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. It is not good that man should be alone." I want you to notice that this word, "not good," was said prior to the sin and the fall. It was said prior to the relationship between Adam and Eve. So, what does this mean? What does this mean? Simply, this means God created us for relationships. God created us to be in relation with Him, with each other, and of course, more specifically, with our spouses. It is not good. This statement was not about sin, was not about fall, but because the man was created for relationships, to have relationships. And as I told you in the morning, in the Garden of Eden, there was no limits on time, no limits on money. It was the most relaxed setting. It was the most enjoyable atmosphere, if you think about it. But in spite of this, it was not good for Adam to be alone. And that's why God created a woman for him. And God meant for both of them to be united in a mysterious way so that they will be one instead of two. And the gospel that we read in the crowning ceremony from Matthew chapter 19, the first impression we think that this gospel is about divorce. But in reality, this passage is not about divorce. بيقول لك the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? They were tricking him to see what he's going to say. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So the emphasis here is not on the divorce, but the emphasis here in the reply of our Lord Jesus Christ is on the oneness, on the oneness. And not only on the oneness, but there is another theme here. Can you tell me what is the other theme? It's about marriage, not only on the oneness, but there's another theme related to the oneness. I'm going to read it again, and I want you to pay attention. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So what's the other theme in this passage? Leaves the parents, okay. What else? What's the other theme in this passage? Together, there's oneness. Support church tradition against homosexuality. That's right. I'm speaking something related to marriage and to oneness. Yes, that's what we call it, permanence. So it is a permanent oneness. So it is not oneness only, but oneness that remain forever. So actually in this passage, there are two themes. The oneness is one theme, and the permanence of this oneness, it will remain forever. No man shall separate. So the Lord here emphasizes two points in marriage. The oneness in marriage and the permanence of oneness. And actually, the theme of oneness in Christianity is manifested in many, many, many things. And in all these things, it's mystery. It's a mystery. So when we speak about oneness, we are speaking about the oneness, the mystery of oneness. For example, the first mystery is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Three in one. They are three, but one. The other mystery is the members of the church. All of us are one body. As we say in the Divine Liturgy, make us worthy, O our Master, to partake of these mysteries, unto the purification of our bodies, spirits, and souls, so that we may become one body and one spirit. The other mystery is the oneness of Christ with the church. He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. And this marriage, the oneness, he is the head, and we are members, as St. Paul emphasizes, we are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh, in Ephesians chapter 5. Another mystery is the oneness between the two natures, the humanity and the divinity in our Lord Jesus Christ. Two natures, but united in a mysterious way in one nature. And add to all these mysteries is the mystery of marriage, the oneness in marriage. Actually, when we say oneness, the word oneness means different things to different people. The word oneness means different things to different people. And I'm going to give you just 15 seconds or 20 seconds to think about what this word means to you in the context of marriage. When we speak about oneness, I want you to think about it. What does it mean? What does it mean in the context of marriage? And remember, I'm here speaking about a mystery. So it's not a simple answer. It's not a simple description, because I'm speaking about a mystery. I'm going to just give you 15 seconds or 20 seconds to think about it, and then we'll discuss what oneness means. After you thought about oneness a little bit, I want just to give you some examples of wrong perception about oneness. I'll study first by the wrong perception about oneness, and then we ask God to guide us into this mystery of oneness to understand what oneness means in marriage. Oneness in our mind sometimes may be like mixing two solid substances. Like sugar plus salt. If you mix them together, you will have one component. This component has the sugar and salt in itself. Is marriage it's like mixing salt and sugar together? Is it? Maybe it is like confusing two liquids together. مثلا تحط شاي على اللبن مثلا تي اند ميلك. Is marriage like this? انت just you mix two liquids together. Is marriage is like chemistry? For example, if you mix hydrogen with oxygen to give you water, in which there is alteration of the nature. Is marriage like this? No. Marriage is not like mixing two solid substances, is not like confusing two liquids, is not like altering the nature in chemical reaction. Marriage actually is a mysterious way of uniting together, and I can dare and say it is like the union between the divinity and the humanity in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to explain why I said it is like this union. But let us define oneness in marriage. We can say marriage is a covenant, as we said this morning. Marriage is a covenant of spiritual unity. Marriage is a covenant of spiritual unity in which souls and hearts and bodies of both partners are joined before God and with God. Again, it is a covenant of spiritual unity. Covenant of spiritual oneness, in which the souls, the spirits, the hearts, and the bodies of both partners are joined, خلي بالك, joined before God and with God, joined before God and with God, into a threefold cord. خيط المثلوث, providing direction and meaning in the bond of love. Providing direction and meaning in the bond of love. I'm going to speak about the threefold. Ada? The threefold cord means the three dollars. And also the threefold cord. Exactly, God, husband, and wife. عشان كده قلت it is unity before him and with him. And if you read Ecclesiastes chapter 4 from verse 2 from verse 9 to 12 it's about marriage actually. يقول لك two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's the threefold cord. And the threefold cord is not quickly broken. So this, that's the mean, is the theme of permanence. It will not be broken. Because God is in this cord with them. Some people, when we speak about oneness, they are afraid and scared to lose their identity in this oneness. عشان كده قلت لكم either one of these examples is correct or not. All these examples that I give you, in each example, each substance lost its identity in this union. And many people afraid that in marriage they will lose their identity. عشان كده بيقول لك yes, the two shall become one. But which one? The two shall become one, but which one? You cannot develop true biblical oneness in marriage by having one person's identity disappear or be engulfed by the other, forming one big blob. The oneness is not in one person will disappear completely in the other. No. عشان كده قلت لكم it is like the unity between the humanity and the divinity. We say in the humanity and the divinity, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity is perfect. And his divinity is perfect. And the two natures are united together without mingling, without confusion, and without alteration. Which means both the identity of the humanity and the identity of the divinity was not lost in this union. So it is real union, but there is the distinguished natures. And we say the same when we speak about the Holy Trinity. Yes, the Father is in the Son, in the Holy Spirit. But these three persons are distinguished. And the Father is not the Son, is not the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Father is in the Son, is in the Holy Spirit, but the Father is distinguished from the Son, and the Son is distinguished from the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So, there is oneness and unity, but in this oneness, there is diversity. And the best example is the example that St. Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 when he spoke about the oneness of the church. How he said it's one body but has diversity, different members and different function and different roles in this one body. And of course there is interaction between the different members and dependency. This member cannot survive and this organ cannot survive unless if it is reacted and connected and interacted with other organs and other members in the same body. So oneness does not destroy the diversity in the body. And in the same way, oneness in marriage does not destroy your identity. Do you remember yesterday when I told you about how 1 + 1 = 1 in marriage? And I told you God created man and woman internally different. And I said this difference, this incompatibility that attract each other. And I said there is a strength and weakness. So this union is strength to need and need to strength. Let me draw برضو قبل ما ارسم انا رسم وحش but I'll try يعني just to when you see these two halves, are they identical? They are not identical, right? Yeah. These are the strength. This point are the strength. And these points are the weaknesses of the person. And these are the strengths of the other person. And these are the weak point of the other person. And God created man and a woman in a such way that these strengths meet this need. And this need meets this strength. So when both partners unite together, they will become one in God. So in this unity, no part lost his identity. But they completing each other in God. They complete each other in God. Conflict will happen when I try to bring this strength to this strength. Then when I try to put this toward this, and then our strengths start to fight and to clash each other, that's where conflicts start to happen. But if this is strength to this need, and this need to this strength, then will complement one another. And this oneness has and must to be protected by God. That is the threefold cord. That is the threefold cord. And when we speak about the permanence of the oneness, I want to tell you, marriage is not meant to last only, but marriage is meant to last happily. What a big difference between marriage that just remains and marriage that remains happily. If you think about this diagram, God intended for marriage to remain and to last and to be one forever. Happily. To bring joy to both partners. In the kingdom of heaven, as the Lord said, they don't get married and they don't give in marriage. So, but they will be like the spirits of God. Of course, they recognize each other. Okay. This leads me to another point very important in marriage. It's about oneness. If you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Or let's read from 24, chapter 2, 24 and 25. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were naked and not ashamed. Why the Bible mentioned this? There is a very important message here. When the Bible described the Adam and Eve, both are naked and unashamed. And here I want to ask you, when you read this verse, what does this mean to you? Both of them are naked and unashamed. What does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? Belong to the first stage? We're in heaven. They are united by God, nothing to hide. Child? Childly? Love exceeds their shape. Shame. Love exceeds their shame. They are one. So it is God and man and woman, nobody else. They don't know anything else. I cannot hear you. Here you go. In the beginning of this marriage between Adam and Eve, they were not ashamed to hide themselves from each other. And here, naked, it doesn't mean only the nakedness of the body, but it is the ability to uncover your thoughts, your feeling, your emotions, your expressions, without being afraid or ashamed of this nakedness, this uncoveredness. And all of us, we experience this when we feel safe. When we feel safe, we are able to uncover all our thoughts and all our emotions. But if we are unsafe, it will be very difficult to uncover our thoughts and our emotions and our feelings. For example, if I ask anybody of you right now, to come and stand here and open up and tell us and share with us all his secrets. Can anybody do this? You know. So this means we lost the ability, to be naked and unashamed. And here I'm not speaking again about the physical nakedness, but I'm speaking about the ability to uncover all your thoughts and your emotions from inside. See how wonderful was the marriage in the beginning? How wonderful God's plan for marriage, and to make the wife and the husband are able to share everything, without being ashamed. So actually, these words means naked and ashamed, means closeness, fearlessness, acceptance, vulnerability, accessibility, freedom, excitement, innocence. But what happened later on? They started to eat from the fruit of knowledge of evil and good. And when they started to eat from it, they start to cover up, to cover themselves. They started to hide themselves. They start to feel ashamed and to feel fearful. And that's what sin does in marriage, as I'm going to explain what are the barriers to the oneness. But here I want to emphasize to you that God's plan for marriage in both partners to absolutely become one, because in this oneness there is this strong ability to uncover everything without being ashamed, without being fearful or scared to uncover all your thoughts.